Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The Bible says that God hates the shedding of innocent blood. We know this from a number of Old Testament scriptures. There's no doubt about it. And we use these passages, and I believe rightfully so, to identify that abortion is sinful in the sight of God. It is, without any question, the shedding of innocent blood. The Bible also teaches in the Old, but specifically, as was mentioned in the question, in the New Testament, that God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. It's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, why do we find in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 3 that God commanded not only the Malachites, but for the women and the children, and as was presented in this question, the innocent children to also be killed? Why would God do that if God hates the shedding of innocent blood? I have more to say with regard to that question here in just a minute, but I want to go through and to try and answer. To begin with, remember God's promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, not only did God promise that He would make Abraham's name great, and through him all nations of the earth would be blessed, He also said that He would bless those who bless Him, His seed, and He says, I will curse those who curse you. Now that was not meaning that anyone who stood and said something that they shouldn't have said to Abraham, that they were condemned by God. But what He means is that anyone who stands in the way of the fulfillment of His plan, Israel, and they're going into the promised land, and ultimately then them being the ones through whom the Messiah would come, God says, those who will stand in opposition to you as my people, then He says, I will curse them. We need to understand that the Amalekites stood in opposition of God on a number of times and in various ways. One way, taking into consideration, they served other gods. They were caught up in all forms of idolatry. And we understand from the immediate context that God told Israel that they were not to have any other gods before them as the law of Moses was given in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through verse 5. And God promised that He would visit the iniquity of Israel who hated Him, who would go astray. God understood that Israel would come in contact with individuals who would believe in man-made gods, who would bow themselves down to this. And as they came in contact with these people, that they would also be influenced by them. Friends, we find that this is indeed the case in the Exodus. When Israel was in Egypt, they were introduced to so many different gods. In fact, as you look to the plagues that are cast against Pharaoh and the Egyptians, if you would, actually they're cast against the gods of the Egyptians, their idol worship. Well, the Amalekites also impacted and influenced God's people in the same way. We also then understand is that God's people, Israel, battled against the Amalekites. And hence God instructed them is that they need to stand firm in their walk with Him, and that they, in doing so, needed to adhere to His commandments to put away the Amalekites. We know that Samuel was given very explicit instructions that he was to put away the leader of the Amalekites, but he did not. He saved him back. And why did he do that? We don't know exactly as to why. He gives explanation, at least in part, but yet at the same time, I believe that he had some selfish intentions. And in this, because he allowed that individual to live and others assumed that there's also other Amalekites who would have also been allowed to have survived, we find is that Israel dealt with them later on. And they constantly worked against God and against God's people. So why would God order all of the Amalekites and others even? It's not only the Amalekites, but others even women and children to be put away. Friends, it dealt with idolatry. And it dealt with purity amongst God's people. God only authorized, God only commanded this for the sake of bringing Christ into the world. And Israel needed to love God more than they loved themselves and more than they loved other nations. When it comes to these innocent lies, we need to understand is that God had a better vision or understanding of them than you and I have. These children would have likely grown to have been evil doers. We have instances that we see even in our society today. Whether if somebody is raised in a drug family, their chances of being a drug user is even higher than somebody who's never around that. One who is raised in a house of alcohol, they stand a greater chance of themselves becoming an alcoholic later in life. Why? Because they become a product of their environment, of that which they've been raised around. And here, I believe that this would also need to be considered is that these individuals, these children being raised by their parents who were caught up in idolatry, who were evildoers against God's people and against God Himself, God understood that these younger people of that generation would have likely grown up to been evildoers. Also, though, as we look at this, we need to understand is that these innocent souls, all innocent souls, are granted eternal life. They're able to dwell eternally in heaven with God. We know this is the case from the Old and New Testament Scripture alike. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 and verse 23, when David and Bathsheba's child died, David recognizes that he can do nothing to bring the child back and that he has a desire now, is stated in the context, to live faithful before God that he might go to where the child is. What's David telling us? Friends, he's telling us is that his child went on to be with God. Why? Because that child was innocent. In the New Testament Scripture, in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 14 and verse 15, as well as Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 through verse 4, Jesus Christ our Lord teaches that children are innocent. There is a point, not an age, I want to stress that, there's not an age of accountability, but there is a point where that people become accountable. And children reach that, young people reach that at different ages, and therefore we've got to be careful with using that term age. And when they reach that point of accountability in their life, then they need to be baptized in order to be forgiven of their sin. But before that, they are safe with God. The Scripture teaches this, and our Lord, I believe, stresses that point specifically in Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through verse 4. That's all the questions that we have submitted for tonight. And again, I thank you for all the questions, but let me say, with regard to the last question, as it was presented with the idea that God hates the shedding of innocent blood and also that He does not lie, those things are true. And then with the question, the way that is posed with regard to 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3, if the individual who submitted that, and I do not know, because if I did, I would have gone to them privately and talked to them. The person who has submitted that, if you are asking to gain a better understanding of why, I commend you for that. If you're asking and you're struggling with your faith based out of what is stated here in this context and maybe other places, please come and talk to me or someone else privately. And we would love to be able to sit down and explain anything from the context that will not hinder your faith, but rather that will help to build your faith, trust, and love for God. God always has a reason why He did things, things that sometimes even challenge us. But if we understand the immediate context and the broader context, we will not only have a better understanding of why God did it, but friends, I believe that also it will help us to build our faith and love and trust in God.